I would like just to read some verses from the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And we'll begin our reading at the verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen, and may God bless this reading from his precious word to all our hearts this evening. My subject is liars, their patron, their persuasiveness, and their punishment. When Moses was granted the wonderful privilege of seeing something of the glory of God upon the mountain, he not only had the revelation of God's glory presented to his eyes, but also to his ears. For the Lord said of himself as he passed Moses, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. That's found in Exodus chapter 34, and it's the verses 6 and 7. The Lord is the captain of truth, for the word abundant there, abundant in goodness and truth, carries the meaning of being a captain, one of high rank, one that carried authority. The Lord is the captain of truth. He is the captain of truth. The Bible says, in so many places, and in so many wonderful ways, that which is recorded in Psalm 33 in verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. I remember reading somewhere where a smart aleck challenged a preacher and said, Is there nothing that God cannot do? And the preacher said, oh yes, there most certainly is something that God cannot do. Something somewhat to the astonishment of his opponent. And they said, what is it that he cannot do? And the man quoted from the little epistle of Paul to Titus in the verse 2 of the chapter 1. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. So there is something that God cannot do. And the same truth, and we say this for the sake primarily of the boys and girls, is found also in Hebrews chapter 6, in the verse 18. Now is the time, boys and girls, to learn your Bible, to become as familiar with it as you are with your pencil, your pen, and any other item of learning. Become familiar with your Bible. Hebrews 6, and the verse 18 reads, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Impossible for God to lie. Always bear that in mind. Because you know, there are those who would try to have us accept that God would tell you a lie, and that His word is not true, and therefore you would be foolish to depend upon it. But you just remember those two texts. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And what God said to Moses, He says to us all afresh this evening, that He is a God abundant in goodness and truth. The ungodliness of this age in which we live is particularly seen in its untruthfulness and the general acceptance of lies. It's all around us. We have come to expect it. And as I say, we have accepted a degree of lying. Unconsciously, our mind, even as Christians, take account of the fact that what we are hearing from day to day most likely is a lie, and we react accordingly. When somebody gives us a price of an item and says, it cost me such and such, so if I had a little profit on top of that, I would be happy. The response, the mental response of the individual is, you liar, it cost you no such thing. And so you offer the person half the price that they were asking. Yes, lies are very familiar around us. Our political world is filled with examples of lying and deceit. It seems the whole political ventures that in our land, the whole workings of Parliament, is built on lies. We have seen the lies exposed, even in the courts of justice, in the workings of law enforcement agencies, where above all places we would expect truth to be found. We have found the lie at work. And it is most disconcerting. Here in Ulster, our whole political setup is built largely of lies. For years and years and years, lies have lain behind every political activity and every political initiative. We see those engaged in the political
activities of the land, given over to the lie, or at best, tolerating. The exceptions to that are very few. And those who do go against the lie and its acceptance are hated and despised and reproached. I suggest to you, you see it in the readiness of so many in the media to criticize Dr. Paisley, to mock him and sneer at him, and then compare their attitude to a Jerry Adams. And you see there is a propensity within our media to orientate toward the liar. And the bigger the liar, the more space they give him. Lies have been exposed in recent times in the political realm. You know, you can get too much of a good thing. Boys and girls know that when they go to a party and they see the table groaning with all those delicious desserts and buns and all the rest of it. And they think, oh boy, I could eat all of that. I could eat all of it. I don't need anybody else to be here at all. I could eat it all myself. But if you try to, you'll turn a funny colour of green. And oh boy, will your tummy feel very sick. You can get too much of a good thing. And communities that have lived off lies and laughed at their representatives working deceit and working lies upon the rest of the population have suddenly had enough of it. And there has been a bout, if I might be as plain to say, there has been a bout of vomiting in the Republican community. And they've been vomiting up the lies fed to them for a long, long time. I cannot go into it. It would fill a year of meetings to pursue every lie that has been told. But to see Adams and McGuinness groveling in the wake of the exposing of their lies. They've told the world they're not in the IRA and yet gone to their own community and sniggered and gloated in the fact that they are in the IRA. McGuinness recently was interviewed and he said he never met the man, knew nothing about the man that had been arrested down south on suspicion of being involved in that great money laundering scam that's going on. Never met him, don't know anything about him. But as you know, some of the news media outlets showed a film in which he was seen talking and laughing with that very man that he never met and didn't know, during the time when McGuinness was down attempting to have this man elected. In a council election, I think it was. Recently, the IRA, when accused of being involved in the murder of that man in the Short Strand area of Belfast, a Mr. Robert McCartney, the IRA issued a statement, "We know nothing about this, nothing to do with us, none of our members involved." And that was their story for a week. And then suddenly, they turned right round and they have expelled three men. But it was good, it was gratifying to discover that at a rally the other day, organised by the family of the man who was murdered, one prominent Sinn Féiner, Alec Maskey, little runt of a liar from Belfast, he was tackled by a relative of the murdered man and said, "You told us there was no involvement. Now you tell us three were involved. We know there was far more. Hand them over." Never thought I'd see the day when Republican people would speak in that fashion
to the IRA.
Jerry Adams has said he's ready to go to court to give evidence. Well, that would be good news, except you couldn't believe one word the rascal said. And I was thinking that if he were to go to court and give evidence on all the matters that he knows and all the murders he knows about, they'd have to build him a wee cabin there because he would never get away from the court. There's so much evidence for him to give. He's a liar. And this is the liar's response to being caught out. This is the smiling, simpering countenance that covers the wolf, that covers the murderer when he's cornered.
But it's not just in our political world that we encounter such deceitfulness. It's seen in the business world. It's seen in the business world. I've often discussed with friends their frustration at ringing up some store, asking was a particular piece of equipment there, had they it in stock. Oh yes, it's here. And they drive 10, 20 miles for it. No, we haven't got any. The lie sprung to the lips of the man behind the counter. Immediately. Couldn't be bothered going looking. Couldn't be bothered going looking. And that's done time and time and time and time again. That's how things are done. And the readiness of the lie to be pushed forward in the business world is but an evidence of how acceptable it has become. In the social relationships that form our community, the lie is there. What professions of love are offered only to be broken? The marriage between Charles and Camilla is but an example of that. For even while both of them were offering their vows before God to their respective marriage partners, they all were already engaged in a wicked liaison. And so what they were swearing before God was a lie. It was a lie. But above all, it's in the religious world that we find lies at work. At this very moment, I'm very conscious of the fact that across our province there are services taking place. I'm also conscious, of course, of the fact that evening services are very rare in ecumenical churches and apostate liberal churches. So I can't say too much about what happens in pulpits on the Lord's Day evening, but if it were the Lord's Day morning, what lies would be going forth at the very time we're holding our service and preaching the Word of God? Lie after lie after lie is propounded in the religious world. While a lie in the world of business may cost you a little money, maybe a lot of money, it's only money. While a lie in the world of human relationships might cost much heartache, a lie in the religious world most likely will cost you your soul. The lies, the religious lies that are told, carry with them the weightiest of penalties. So I would issue a warning tonight about lying, what the Bible has to say, or at least part of what the Bible has to say on this subject. It is not the inconsequential matter that it is made out to be today. There is no such thing as a white lie. And most people think that the lie they tell is a white lie, that it will do no one any harm. But I tell you, a lie is not an inconsequential thing. And that certainly is the teaching of the Word of God. We'll do a little moving through the Bible this evening as we look at this subject, returning first of all to John chapter 8, to a very familiar passage. And there we will come upon the origins of lies. John chapter 8, the verse 42, Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear, discern my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Here we have the origins of lies. The devil is the father of lies. He is the generator of lies. He is the originator of lies. The first lie that was told came forth from the being of the devil. And every lie that ever has been told subsequent to that has its origins with the devil. And when you lie, when your tongue forms that which is not true, you own the devil as your father. You own the devil as your father. You testify to the links that you have with the devil. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, a vital stage has been reached in the scheme of betrayal concerning Judas. We read in the verse 3 of Luke chapter 22, then entered Satan into Judas. The devil took over. The devil took over. And from that moment, Judas was nothing but a mouthpiece of the devil. He uttered lies as he was used by the devil to promote the destruction of the Lord Jesus. And turning again to John chapter 13, and I just give you these verses for you to ponder perhaps at a later time. John chapter 13, the verse 2, here's John's account. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas to betray him. The devil at work in the heart results in the lie of the devil on the lips, because he's the origin of lies. When you tell lies, boys and girls, just you remember, you're speaking like the devil. You sound like the devil. That's what God thinks. God can pick up the devil's tones, the devil's accent, in your voice, in your heart, in your thoughts, when you lie. Oh, it was for this reason, in Acts chapter 13, at the beginning of the ministry of the Apostle Paul, when he had come to the island of Cyprus, we are told in the verse 10 of chapter 13 that Paul speaks to one Elymas who had been opposing them and withstanding their efforts to preach the gospel. Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, we're told in verse 9, that's an important thing, he's full of the Holy Ghost, full of the wisdom of the Holy Ghost, full of the discernment of the Holy Ghost. He said to this man, he set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil.
How did Paul know to call him that? Because he recognized in what he was saying the accents of the devil. Let us all bear that in mind, men and women. There's nothing sounds more harsh in the ears of God than the lie on the lips of His people. Let us not be guilty of adopting the devil's tones through lies. When we engage in lies, we further the devil's cause. Every lie assists the devil. Every lie promotes the devil's cause. That's why there's no such thing as an innocent lie. It promotes the devil's cause. In Acts chapter 5, you have the first act of judgment in the New Testament church. Verse 1 of chapter 5, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Again, the man of God, full of the Holy Ghost, discerned the lie. God sees the lie very readily. God sees the lie very readily. You can't conceal it or camouflage it. You can't get away with the lie in the presence of God. And Peter immediately seizes upon the lie. What was the lie? Well, they sold a piece of property. And they came with money from the seal, and they said, there's all we got, we want to give it all. But it was a lie. A most unnecessary lie. For had they come and said, we've just sold a piece of property and we're giving you this amount out of the seal, God would have been pleased with them. God wasn't angry with them that they didn't give all the money. No, no, please don't for a moment believe that. God wasn't angry with them that they didn't give all the money. God was angry with them because they told a lie. They told a lie. God doesn't require all your money. But God doesn't expect you to tell a lie about what it is you do give to Him. And Ananias was struck down dead by God because he, in telling that lie, he became an enemy. He became a traitor. He was working for the devil, right in the camp of the saints, right in the heart of God's kingdom. And God thus judged him. If you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and it's the verse 2 there. This chapter 4, in the verse 1, tells us of the departure from the faith that is coming. And at the heart of this departure, we are told in verse 2, is speaking lies. Lies promote the cause of the devil. Lies promote the kingdom of Antichrist. Lies promote ecumenism. Why have I spent nearly 40 years, along with other Free Presbyterian ministers, in challenging ecumenists to face us on a platform? Why is it we have never been able to get an ecumenist to come onto the platform. Why is it? Because it's so easy to expose their lies. And they know it. They know that what they're saying is wrong. They know that what they're saying is not the truth. Are they going to give it up, even though they know it? No, they're not going to give it up. They're just going to sidestep any threat to them continuing their lying. And the man Pringle, down there in Enniskillen, when challenged about his ecumenism, he'll not come forward. He'll not answer the challenge. Because we could plainly show him to be a liar. And while I'm sure it irritates him that we write that he's a liar and we preach that he's a liar, he would hate it even worse if he had to stand on the platform and be told he's a liar and given an opportunity to prove we're wrong. Because he couldn't do it. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. And when you take a lie on your lips, you, to some measure, to some degree, very definitely assist the cause of the devil. When Abraham lied about his wife, it wasn't a very great lie. In fact, it was a sort of a half-truth. Because he said, well, this is my sister. And of course she was a half-sister. But she was more than his sister. She was his wife. And just remember that in the early ages of the human race, when physical purity, and maybe I could hopefully say and be correct, genetic purity did not mean that the consequences of a marriage of such close blood relationship today would cause. It didn't happen back then. For the reasons that I have fumblingly attempted to give you. But back to the point. This little lie that he put forward. And he did it out of fear because he was frightened that because Sarah was a beautiful woman, that perhaps there would be men, powerful individuals, who might take his life in order to have his wife. And so he, in a cowardly fashion, told a lie. He meant it to assist the cause. But God was grieved with him. And it greatly hindered the work of God. Because to this day we're still talking about that lie. And to some degree we feel ashamed that a great man like Abraham should tell a lie like that. And of course his son told the same lie, or thereabouts. Oh, every lie assists the devil some way or other. Every lie. Let us bear that in mind. Nothing is more contrary to God than a lie. Why? Because as the Savior says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing is more opposed and more opposite to the truth than a lie. And when you become the propagator of a lie, you stand opposite Christ. You take the side of the enemy. The gospel is called the gospel of the truth. It's called the truth of the gospel. And the lie is the very opposite. The very opposite. And those who tell the lie tell the opposite of the gospel. They tell the opposite of the gospel. They become a preacher of the devil's gospel, if I might call it that. If I might call it that. If you're not saved tonight, you've told God lies.
You have responded to his truth with the devil's lie. If you're not saved, that's how it is. Remember what you read in the words of Christ, Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, the verse 17, the Savior tells the parable of the great supper. Verse 17, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all with one consent began to make excuse. You could quite legitimately paraphrase that and say they all began to tell a lie. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it." Lie! It's a lie! And you say, he might have bought a piece of ground. Yes, he might have, but he didn't have to go and see it. I question whether he had bought any ground or not, but even if he had, he didn't have to go and see it at that moment. He had seen it when he bought it. Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." A lie! What man in his right mind would buy oxen and then go and try them afterwards? There's not one of you would go and buy a car, pay over the money and say, "Now I must see if it works." No, you'd have scooted around the whole countryside, trying it out. Of course you would. This is a lie. It's man's response to God's truth. You see, the lie is the very opposite of the truth. The lie is the devil's counterpart to God's truth. Verse 20, another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Why didn't he bring her too? I'm sure she would have enjoyed the night out at the supper. It's a lie. How many lies have you told to God, my friend? Many lies have you gone out through these very doors and told to God? "I'm going to get this matter settled. I'm going to pull up my socks, as it were, and I'm going to be more faithful, and I'm going to be more diligent." It was all a lie. It was all a lie, and God not for one moment believed it. Not for one moment did you deceive God. There was no cheering in heaven when you said that, because heaven recognized it's only another lie. There's no truth in it. And does time not prove there is no truth in it? You have not fulfilled what you said you would fulfill, even to yourself. The same carelessness dominates your life. God have mercy on you. For you're going to walk hand in hand with that lie down the road to damnation. The truth would bring you to the feet of Jesus. The lie is going to bring you to everlasting hell. The origins of lies, then. It's the devil. Let me come to a question. Why is the lie more acceptable to men than the truth? Why, when men have a choice, do they immediately, without thinking, instinctively, lay hold upon the lie? It seems that there is ever among men a ready audience for the devil's lie and an abiding antipathy toward God's truth. Unrelenting opposition for the truth of God. Why is this so? Well, it's so first and foremost because man is familiar with the sound of the lie. I'm sure we were all very much touched by some of the stories that come out of the disaster in Asia. Children rescued. But they didn't know where their parents were. I think there was one little boy, he was Swedish.
Nobody could understand a word the youngster was saying. They didn't even know what language he was speaking in. And they must have got a language expert, and they recognized that the youngster may well have been speaking a Scandinavian language. So they probably got someone who could speak Swedish. And it says the child reacted immediately when it heard its own language. It heard its native tongue. And it reacted. It reacted immediately. And that's why it is men react to the lie. It's their native tongue. John 8:44. Again, remember what was said there? When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. That's the devil's language. It's his native air. And when a man speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He's lapsing, as it were, into his old language. His old language, he feels at home with it. And that's why the heart responds to the lie. There's a natural instinct that draws us to the lie. That's why when we're faced with a difficult situation, we will tell a lie. It's instinct. It was quite common, you know, for German intelligence officers, whenever they were searching for escaped prisoners, as they watched all the possible routes that an escaping prisoner would take, they used to trick the escaping Englishman, Scotsman, Welsh or Irishman or American or Australian or from whatever English-speaking part of the Allied nations he came from. They would speak to them naturally in German, ask for their papers, look at their papers, hand it back, and then speak a wee word in English. And so often men instinctively turned round and answered them in English and betrayed themselves. Why? It was instinct. It was instinct. And my friend, we betray what we are by nature when we tell the lie and speak our native tongue, the language we learn from our earliest days. The first words we spoke were lies. Look at Psalm 58 and the verse 3. I want every mother in this meeting to particularly note this. Every mother, please note this. And I want you also to lay hold upon the instinctive response of your heart to these words and stop your heart saying what it naturally will say. Psalm 58, the verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That's your child. Now you look at this and you say, yes, I believe the word of God, but not my child. That's what you think. That's what you think. Not my child. I've heard that so often from parents. There's one thing about our child. He's very honest. You're a fool. God's true. Now you can pick that verse up and look at it and say God's telling a lie or he's telling a truth. If he's telling the truth, then my child is capable of telling lies. Is there any adult here who would deny that they're capable of telling lies? Don't you know rightly you've told lies? Where did you learn to lie? When you were a child. Is your child never going to tell lies? Oh no, I'm sure they will. Well, when are they going to learn to tell lies? They're learning now. We were born with a nature, born with an old nature, that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We were born liars. You've heard that said of some people. That boy, he's a born liar. Ah, but so is the man who's saying that about him. For we're all born liars.
Literally, according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. And the Scriptures cannot be broken. And that's why men speak lies so readily. That's why men accept lies so readily. That's why there is such a popular following of those that we see to be telling lies. And we say, how is it? How is it people listen to them? Because they instinctively embrace the lie. That's why. They instinctively embrace the lie. We cannot lay aside lying by ourselves. Psalm 119, the verse 29. This is the great man David, remember. At least that's what we commonly accept. There are those who would tell us, suggest to us, that Daniel may well have been the man who wrote this psalm. It doesn't really matter who was the pen man. We believe ultimately the author was God. Verse 29 of Psalm 119, it says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. What's he praying? Remove the way of lying from me. Why is he praying it? Because he can't do it himself. He can't stop telling lies. He cannot get off the path of lies of himself. And so he prays that God will remove him from the ways of lying. Lying sticks to you like your skin. That's how close lying is to us. Can't remove it of ourselves. Can't overcome it of ourselves. We need to consult God. And you'll never be saved from the lie. You'll never be saved from being deceived by the lie. You'll never be saved from believing the lie and rejecting the truth of God. You'll never, never, never do it by yourself. It'll take God by His grace to intervene. And you need to get down on your knees if you're not saved and ask God to deliver you from lies. And if you're a Christian, you ought to make that a prayer every day, that our hearts might be bound more and more to the truth of God. Let me close by pointing out just where lies will lead us. You see, in that Psalm 119 and the verse 29, the fact that lies are a path. The psalmist says, remove from me the way of lying. A lie is a pathway. It's a road. It's a road. And it's a road that is going somewhere, very definitely. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What are the ends of the lie? Where does it lead? Where will it take me? If I take its hand, if I follow its lead, where will I end? That's an important question. Because if you're not saved, you see, you are following the path of the lie. You're on the path of the lie. Where are you going then? Don't you want to know? As people consult these so-called astrologers in the newspapers, these writers of rubbish, garbage. So many people consult them, read them, take heart from them. Because they want to know, what is the day, what is the month, what does this year hold for me? Well, I can take you further with the Bible. I can tell you what eternity will hold for you. If you follow the lie, I can show you where it'll take you. It'll take you first and foremost into confrontation with God in this life. That's the first thing. You cannot
believe the lie, speak the lie, follow the lie, or in any way be influenced by the lie without coming in confrontation with the God of truth. The God of truth.
How important it is for us to note that. In Proverbs chapter 19 and the verse 5 of that book of wisdom, Proverbs 19 and the verse 5, listen to what it says. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape.
I like to read such verses as that, you know, whenever I'm vexed and grieved at the lies that I hear every day, particularly in the religious and political world. I read that and I have God's undertaking that the liar will not escape. God will catch up with them. God will confront them. You remember what we read about Ananias and Sapphira? They thought they had everybody deceived. Then they met with God. How swiftly that meeting came about. First of all, God met with the husband, and he fell down dead, and then the wife, who didn't even know what had happened, she came in and she repeated the same lie. God smote her as well.
You can read it there in Acts 5 if you so desire. A nation given over to lies. This is what makes me tremble for the United Kingdom. A nation given over to lies will meet with God's judgments. Listen. Listen to what we read in Hosea chapter 4 verse 2. Telling of what it is that has vexed God. And which is going to bring his judgments on Israel. By swearing and lying. And killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break you out and blood toucheth blood. God's giving his indictment against Israel and explaining why judgment's coming.
And right there amongst the crimes is lying. I tell you, when you lie, you're going to run into God. It'll take you into a confrontation with God in this life. You know, God tells us that that which will cure the nation, that which will bring the nation into blessing, you have that in the little book of Zechariah, near the very end of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 8. God setting out to the people just what it is will bring his blessings. Zechariah chapter 8, the verse 16, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath for all these things that I hate, saith the Lord. You want to know God's blessing? Well, here it is. It's reject the lie in every form. Because God says, I hate the lie. I hate the lie. This country will never know God's peace until it hates the lie as well. Hates it so much that liars will be given the run. Oh, God, send us such a day. God, send us such a day. Where will lies lead you? It'll lead you into confrontation with God. Lies will shut you out of heaven. Lies will shut you out of heaven. Revelation chapter 22. Last chapter of the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, outside, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie.
There's no place in the heavenly Jerusalem for the liar. We read tonight from Revelation 21, and God said, "It is done." What is done? The wonderful recovery of God's creation from the consequences of sin. That's what's done. There's a new heaven and there's a new earth, untainted. What tainted it? A lie. That's how it all began. "Yea, hath God said." And Eve believed the lie. Well, in the new creation, there'll be no liars. God's not going to allow it to happen again. And if you follow the lie, my friend, you'll never get into heaven. You'll never get into heaven. If you follow the lie, it'll bring you to the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. Revelation 21:8, we read this. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars." Why doesn't it say all the fearful, all the unbelieving, all the abominable, all the murderers and all whoremongers? Why does it not put in all there? Because, you see, I think men would say, well, we can't expect these people or any of them to get to heaven. But surely telling a lie is not such a big thing. Surely being a liar is not such a big thing. Well, God says, all liars. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What is a liar? It's someone who lives by the lie. They build their hope on a lie. A Christian can tell lies, but they're not liars, because they will repent of their lie. And their hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But a liar is someone who builds their all upon the lie. The devil says to you, "Don't worry. God loves all men. He'll damn none." And you're building your hope on that. You're building it on a lie. The devil says to you, "Don't be in a hurry. You have plenty of time. You can get this matter settled at some future date. There's nothing to make you settle it tonight." And you say, "That's right." And you build on a lie. Because you might never see tomorrow morning. You might never see tomorrow morning. It's the devil's lie to say, "I have plenty of time." You don't know. And if you build your hope on a lie, you'll go to hell. Maybe you're saying, "Well, I've been baptized. And I have been faithful and good in my church, and sure I've given money. And I've done nobody any harm. Surely I'll get to heaven. I'll be all right." And that's your hope. Well, you're building it on a lie. You're building it on a lie, and it'll take you to hell. You need to come to Christ. You need to obey the truth of God. What is the truth of God? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abideth on you. That's the truth. And if you obey that, build on that, trust in that truth, put your faith in Christ and His atoning blood alone, then you're building on the truth and you'll go to heaven. What is it to be tonight? The lie or the truth? May God deliver you from the way of lying and bring you to the way of truth. For Jesus' sake, let's bow in prayer.